In this passage, it's we'll talk a little bit about it, but I remember one time I was sitting in the hospital in Strathroy, where I spent most of my life, and I can't remember why I was there, but I remember I was sitting on the cot, and they were surrounded by curtains, we were kind of all divided by curtains, and I remember hearing this little voice saying, "Mommy, who's Jesus?" I think, "I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God." And do I say that out loud? What are they going to think? Are they going to come back with something? Is this going to offend them? What am I going to say afterwards? That? And then by the time I finally, of course, the doctor walks in. Yeah, there's that opportunity. It was there. I had the opportunity and the time to say something, just a few words. That opportunity is gone. It will never come back. I lost it. So you can imagine how I felt after that. I missed an opportunity to be a witness for our Lord, and I can't get it back. There's nothing I can do to gain that opportunity back. It's gone. And that is what Paul is talking about here. He urges us to carefully watch the decisions that we make, the way that we live our lives, in order to have the maximum impact in the lives of others while we still have time. That's the basic translation of these verses. That's what he wants to communicate to us tonight. That is what he has for us, so that we will be careful how we live our lives. He says, again, in verse 15, be careful then how you live. He wants us to be careful, and some of your translations will use the word walk. See then that you walk circumspectly, or be careful how you walk. I think the NIV does a good job in saying, be careful how you live. Because if you see the term walk in the scriptures used in a figurative way, it means to how you live your life. So Paul is urging us to be careful how we live our lives, to consider carefully how we live our lives. And that is in the second part, not as fools, but as wise. He wants us to take advantage of those opportunities. He wants us to examine carefully those opportunities that come our way, to walk circumspectly, or to take advantage of the opportunities that we have. That's probably the best translation of that phrase in Greek. To be careful how we live our lives, to make the most of those opportunities that present themselves. Not like I did that one time when I totally missed it. To be careful. So a wise person considers carefully how they live their lives, what they do with their time, how they take advantage of the things that are before them, how they live their lives, how they plan for the future. So they're careful. They examine everything that comes their way. They examine the decisions that they have to make carefully, because they know that these decisions are going to make a difference in their life and the lives of those who are around them. So let's be careful. So if we're planning like for our career, we have to be careful. How is it that the Lord wants to use me? What career does he want me to get into? Well, I started out as a motorcycle mechanic. Now I'm a missionary. Big difference. But that's what the Lord has called us to. So we obediently prepare and follow him. So he wants us to be careful with the decisions that we make. He wants us to make sure that when we're making those decisions, that the motivation for those decisions is not to please ourselves, to do what we want to do, but to do what is going to help others, to do what he wants us to do, to live our lives in a way that he wants us to live. So those decisions come into play. The thoughts that go through our minds. What are those thoughts? We have to be careful of the thoughts that go through our minds, because, of course, we all know that the Lord knows what goes speeding through our minds every moment of the day. How are our thoughts? Well, if we're honest, they're not always the most wholesome. They're not all the altruistic thoughts that we would like as a Christian to be thinking. To be thinking of others first. How we can help them. When we actually are thinking, how can we best help ourselves? How can we gain the upper hand in this situation? How can we get ahead? How can we take advantage of this to our benefit? So the Lord wants us to, and Paul is encouraging us through Paul, to be careful how we think, to be careful how we live our lives. And the decisions that we make, the thoughts that go through our mind, are all a part of what is going to be manifested in our lives, the way that we live our lives day to day. He's also talking about the intentions of our heart. What is pure? What is true? What is honorable? Are those the kinds of things that we meditate upon? Or am I looking out for number one? Am I looking out for my interest? What is my intention for doing things? That I would be noticed? That I will be, hey, look at me. I'm the one that needs the promotion here. I could really use that raise. Or are we here to serve? Why do we do the things we do? So Paul is encouraging us to carefully understand and take advantage of those opportunities, not as foolish people, but as wise people, people who carefully consider what they have to do, the decisions that they make, the thoughts that go through their mind, the intentions that we have. Do we take the time in those moments to consciously stop and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do at this particular time? What's the decision you want me to make here, now? What is the direction that you have for me so that I can go in that direction? So Paul wants us to examine every decision that we make, every thought that goes through our mind, everything that we do, every intention that we have. Now, that doesn't mean that we're enslaved to this constant fear and doubt that, man, what if I get it wrong? What if I misunderstand? What if that's my own intention? Instead of, no, he doesn't want us to live in fear, to be entrapped. He wants us to have fun as well. He wants us to enjoy life. Like when you guys get together for fellowship, is this a somber time? I don't think so. I think you laugh. I think you interact with one another. I think you ask each other how you're doing, and you feel free to share how you're doing. Am I right? I hope so. Okay, maybe I won't go too much further on that one. But he wants us to have fun. He wants us to enjoy life. He has given us this life with all the blessings and the abundance that we have to enjoy it. To enjoy each other's company, to show the world that there we can have fun and it's not sinful, that we have freedom in Christ, and we're not bound, we're not controlled to do bad things, we're not dragged away, we don't go to excess in anything, but we can live a life that is a life of integrity, a life that is honorable. So Paul is encouraging us to think carefully, examine our lives. How is it that we're to live our lives? Do we just sit mindlessly in front of the TV at night because we're tired? We don't feel like doing anything else and just mindlessly watch whatever comes up on TV? I really don't like TV here because I go to watch news and something else comes on. And it's like, whoa, I don't think I want to watch that. I thought it was supposed to be news. Why is this a news channel with that garbage on there? Okay, pack that in. But not to mindlessly sit in front of the TV all night But maybe watch something that is beneficial, something you can learn from, or something that you can analyze. If you've ever watched National Geographic or Discovery, you have to filter whatever you hear and see through a biblical grid. But there are still things to learn that we can learn about God's creation from this. Okay, take that and go. Shut the TV off. Spend time with family. Spend time with friends. Do something constructive. And not just sit there and vegetate and have all that other stuff go in your mind unfiltered. So we're to have fun. We're to enjoy life. He has many things that he wants us to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy him. So Paul encourages us not to live as unwise people, but as wise people who consider carefully, who examine the decisions that they make, the thoughts that go through their mind, the intentions of their hearts, where they're going in life. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Before I was a believer, I was a motorcycle mechanic. I lived as a motorcycle mechanic. I had the vocabulary as a motorcycle mechanic, as you could probably imagine. Hopefully you can't imagine the words I would have said back then, but I used those words. But when the Lord saved me, I lost half of my vocabulary. I could hardly speak. But what an opportunity to be in an environment like that and to be a witness for him. Was I perfect? No. I messed up majorly once, but I'm glad that the apprentice I was working with didn't catch on. So I was like, oh, Lord, help me. To examine our lives, to invest in others, to want to be that witness that he has for us. The life that he wants us to live as wise people is to be completely different than what it used to be. Paul goes through here, and he wants us to be to walk in love in verse 2. Verse 3, he doesn't want us to live an immoral life, along with verse 4, that no filthy or unclean thing is to come out of our mouth. Verse 8, 9, and 10. It's all talking about a moral life. Our life as believers is to be in stark contrast to those who are in the world. And so Paul is saying to these people and to us today that if we used to steal from our employer, we're to steal no longer. We don't do those things anymore. If we used to take the Lord's name in vain and we used to swear, man, we don't do that kind of thing anymore. Because that is just, it doesn't honor him. It shows our ignorance, our lack of vocabulary, if nothing else. If we lived an immoral life before, a life of excess in the pleasures of our flesh and what this world has to offer, then Paul's saying, no, You're changed now. You have to live another way, a way that honors God. And that keeps constant analyzing, thinking about our lives. How have I been living? Has the way that I've been living betrayed what I say I am? We have to think. Christianity is just not a mindless religion. No. Christianity is a relationship with God, and he wants to actively transform our lives. And that takes a lot of power of the gray matter that's between our ears. It takes work. It does. Because now you have to think, what is right, what is wrong? What does God want me to do? As opposed to what does my flesh want me to do? Who wins? Ask your kids. Ask your spouse. Ask your good friends. They will tell you. Yes. So if we had a conversation with them, what would they say? Yes, my wife knows me better than I know myself because she sees me from the outside. I can fool myself. I can't fool her. Yes, so true. So if I copied music CDs, if I copied movies before, I no longer do that. It's just not even in the equation. It's not part of it. I don't do that anymore. If I used to deceive people, tell them half-truths, if I used to talk about people's business behind their back to people who it doesn't really impact, and I'm not trying to reconcile that person or to improve, don't even mention it. We don't go there. We don't do that. But there are a lot of times that we get caught up in that. So Paul is telling us in this context that we are to live as children of God. They need to see that difference in our lives, that we're living wisely. We're making wise decisions. We're carefully analyzing every decision that we make. And he says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We have to put forth the necessary effort to be able to make the most of the opportunities that show up. Not like the one that was in the hospital when I missed my opportunity. I've missed other opportunities along the way, and I can't get them back. There's no way. So Paul is encouraging us here to make use of every opportunity. Grab it. You may not know what to say. It may not come out perfectly. Boy, do I know that. But the Lord wants us to speak. And he wants us to act. And he wants us to be his people. To act like his people. To live honestly before others. These are the things that he's asking us to do. So our lives are to be lived in a godly way that reflects the character and the love of God. The things that he's trying to do in our lives for us to cooperate with that, that transformational work that he is doing in our lives all of these years until the end comes. He wants us to be willing participants in that, for us to work with him and to grow, to become more like his son. There's still time. There's still time tonight. There's still time to take advantage of those opportunities, that we may be found to be truly wise people who take advantage of those opportunities as God provides them. Trust him. Speak. Act. Be. So that he is able to use us in whatever small way it may be. Because he has called each one of us with a purpose. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. The word for workmanship here is a word that is used of the things that only God can create. Only God can make. So we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose, to do good works. That's what he's called us to do good works, to be a witness for him. And it says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And this preparation in advance happened way in the past sometime. Don't know when, can't pinpoint the time, but each one of us has specific good works that he has prepared for us that only each one of us can actually fulfill, because he has created it just for us. Each one of us has a different field or of influence. I can't go into your workplace. I can't go into your apartment building. I can't go where you are and have the impact you have, because I don't know those people. They don't know me. I don't have a relationship with them like you do. But he is able to use each one of you, and is able to use me to be able to fulfill that for which he has called me. So God has taken the care and the effort to create for each one of us opportunities. And Paul is encouraging us here to take advantage of those opportunities because the days are evil. He wants us to be a change agent, if you will, in this world. He wants us to take that which is naturally inclined for evil and turn it for good. That's something only God can do. So we're to be working with him in that. To take those situations that are naturally degrading and to help turn them around. To take advantage of those opportunities as they're presented to us. When the Lord prompts us to do something and we feel that sense that he's speaking to us, he wants us to do something, but we're not really sure if this is it, because is this just me or is this God? It's likely God prompting you to do something. And it's only afterwards that we can look back and see, oh yeah, that was clearly God working, prompting me to do that. And look what he was able to do through that. So he wants us to live as wise people, to take those opportunities that we have, to be able to use it, to be witnesses for him, to be able to take every opportunity that we have and to analyze it. And how can I make the most of this opportunity? Not for my benefit, but for the benefit of that person and what God wants me to accomplish here. And we can do that. If we're open to what the Lord has for us, if we take the time, Lord, what do you want me to do? This or that? Do you want me to just walk away? Sometimes he wants you to just walk away and walk away. Some things pop up. Oh, don't want to see that. Turn away. Many things that happen. God wants to use us in a very specific and personal way to impact the lives who are around us. He wants to use the lives that he is transforming to be able to accomplish his purpose. And each one of us has a part in that. That's why we're here. We're here to assist God in what he is doing. Not that it depends upon us, because the strength and the power and the wisdom doesn't come from us. You understand, as I do, it comes from him. He's the one who's able to guide us. He's the one who's able to help us take advantage of those opportunities so we can make the most of it, so we can redeem the time that we have. Verse 17 says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How are we going to know the will of God if we're not in the Word? If we're not sensitive to his leading, we can't. That's why it's so important to have that relationship with God, so he is able to guide us every step of the way. Amen? Amen. Amen.